Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Real Estate Pros, the podcast for real estate business owners, salespeople, and property managers, where you'll get marketing ideas, inspiring interviews, actionable tips and strategies to help grow your business. I'm Josh Cobb. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Chris McLeod, the founder of The Inbound Guide, a marketing consultancy specializing in the duct tape marketing system, one of the world's most trusted small business marketing brands. Along with the other marketing consultants operating under the duct tape marketing system, Chris believes that a strong business and marketing strategy will beat even the greatest idea or tactic every time. And a happy customer is your best lead generation tool. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh. Really happy to be on.
Well, I've given our listeners just a little insight, Chris, but take a minute, tell us a little bit more about you personally and give us an overview of The Inbound Guide.
Right. Well, I have a bit of a funny accent, although I live in Sydney. I hail originally from the US and in particular a place called Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which is quite a different experience to Sydney, a bit of a ski town. But I came to Sydney about 7.5 years ago. To work for a company I'd worked for in the States, doing a bit of sales and marketing, and have since decided that I'm so excited about marketing and some of the things that are new to our world that I wanted to make a business out of it. So I joined the Duct Tape Marketing System Network about a year and a half ago after having read this fantastic book, and away we go. Now I'm actually really excited about the future and love this game of trying to convince small business owners that there's a better way to what they've been doing.
Well, most of our listeners, Chris, probably haven't heard of the duct tape marketing system or the man behind it, Mr. John Jantz. Can you give our listeners a general overview of what duct tape marketing is all about?
Yeah, duct tape marketing really began as an idea that was put together by this guy, John Jantz, who was at the time just a marketing consultant that was sort of focused on a couple of different industries and a particular size of business. And over the course of his consulting work, he sort of developed a system that made sense, particularly for the small business owner, which was to sort of reduce the marketing process into really a system as opposed to a series of creative events and smoke and mirrors. And a lot of the clients that he worked with really helped him to develop the system. So he wrote a book called Duct Tape Marketing, which was, I think, first came out in 2007. And it's really meant to be a practical guide for real business owners to approach this idea that marketing really is a system and not magic.
Well, let's break that down. Let's break it down for everyone listening and have a look at, I guess, what is the problem that, I guess, John was trying to solve when he launched duct tape marketing? And I guess following on from that, I guess, what were businesses doing wrong in his opinion?
Well, I think the main problem is, especially with small businesses, there are always limited resources. Obviously, all business owners would say that their resources are limited. But I think that the main thing is when it comes to marketing, because it's such something that's not commonly explained in a way that makes sense to small business owners, they either can get intimidated by it when it gets to or when they decide to start really trying to make a difference with their marketing. Either they don't know how to go about it, or they think that they need to hire some specialist agency, and then they're often surprised at the price that an agency will want to charge them for this. So marketing often gets tossed out the window, either because it's intimidating or because when resources are limited, it's because it's not well understood, it usually gets chucked out the window. And I think that is such a huge mistake. And in my experience as a small business owner, I can tell you, I've made that decision before, and it's been disastrous. It's really almost the first thing you should be doing is getting word out about what it is that you're solving, the problem that you solve for your customers, and understanding what your customers really do want. Because if you can't explain that, you're pretty much done.
So. Well, most real estate agents, Chris, forever and a day have gone about marketing in a pretty similar fashion. I mean, they're putting out letterbox drops. They're putting their faces on bus shelters around their local community. They're doing sponsorships of the local football team. They're doing all these sorts of things that across the country here in Australia, they're all doing similar things. So what is unique about this inbound marketing philosophy or the duct tape marketing system that can really help enhance marketing over and above, you know, to really stand out from all of the other things that everyone else is doing?
Well, really, it's sort of two things there. The first is that if you want to unpack the idea of inbound marketing is really just a nice industry term for acquiring your customers through a process of providing an education for them, putting out information about what it is you do, not necessarily about your products and services, but what the problem is that they have that they need to have solved and your approach to it. It's really fundamentally different than going out and trying to hunt customers, where you're sort of trying to convince people pretty early on in the process that you have some way of solving their problem without doing it in a sort of gentle manner where it's a little bit more organic. And I do think people are really tired of being sold to. And when your spam box is full of stuff and you're getting stuff in your mailbox, and we tend to really be conscious about tuning that stuff out. And what inbound marketing really does is provides a way of putting out some information that's really useful to your potentially ideal client without trying to convince them that you're that they are your ideal client.
Well, I mean, it's deeply ingrained in real estate professionals, salespeople, specifically, or business development managers, Chris. It's ingrained in them that every chance they get, that there has to be a call to action in virtually every piece of marketing that they do. They're paid to get results. They're paid to get leads. That's how they make their living. So it's very deeply ingrained in them to naturally want to put a call to action at the end of a letterbox drop or a Facebook post or something like that. It feels natural to them. Inbound marketing takes time, to really put out educational, helpful content over a period of time in the hope that someone's going to call you. What would you say to salespeople that are thinking, look, I haven't got that time, I'm paid to get results? Like, what do you think you would say to those people?
I think that's a really good question. I think the main component of any engagement that I have with clients, the most important bit, is actually the formulation of a reasonable strategy. And the strategy includes really being very, very specific about who it is you're talking to and what it is that you are providing for them that's a solution to the problem that they have. And that really requires that you deeply understand who these people are, and not necessarily demographics, although that's a helpful aspect of it, but really understanding their pain, understanding what it is that you can do to help them with their problem, and really specifically what you can do that somebody else who purports to do what you do can do. And if you have this strategy really well formulated, you can then go about evaluating the utility of all these different calls to action and all these different tactics much more effectively. And I think if you do it well enough and you put enough time into it, you should be able to really sort of work backwards from what your goal is. Let's say that as a business owner, your goal is to have a person or a company buying your products and services who in the end are really happy and out in the marketplace singing your praises, and what I like to call raving lunatics who really, really get what you do. So working backwards from there, how many leads do I have to get? How many, what's my conversion rate? And if you really can be methodical about it, then those calls to action can be much, much more specific, and the results will come. It's just a matter of investing the time as opposed to going to the well for the immediate gratification of just, because a good example, I would say, you see a lot of people talk about website hits or social engagement. Well, yeah, it's great if you have lots of people coming to your website, but it's basically useless if they're not actually staying and engaging with you and converting into customers. So website traffic is, it's not completely a useless stat, but it's certainly not the important one when it comes to results. And social engagement being the same. I have a couple of clients who are really pleased with their social engagement on Facebook. But my point to them is that's great and that's an important component, but that you're already speaking to customers, that people that already know you. And if you're trying to expand your network outside of people who already know you, you really have to be specific about what you're saying. So I think that's just a really common thing that people like, that immediate gratification of having somebody come to the website, but it's just really unimportant if they leave once they get there.
No, I think a lot of people, no, I don't think it's just in real estate. I think it's in any marketing or sales position, Chris, are blinded by the bright and shiny object syndrome, I call it. And I liken it to that movie Up, the children's movie Up, where the dog gets distracted when the squirrel runs past. I think that squirrel represents, you know, a new social media platform or a new marketing idea or a new advertising idea or something like that. And the dog is us as the sales or marketing professional thinking, well, look, I've got to chase after that. I've got to give that a try because what I'm doing isn't working or I'm not getting the results that I really want to get. So I guess that's just something that's natural in business. But something I've been speaking to clients a lot about lately is how marketing was done in the early 1900s and how it changed massively after the rise of things like mass media and TV in the 1950s. With the launch of television, it used to be that marketing was all about educational, helpful content that built trust with the community over a period of time because we didn't have TV or the internet. So people got very creative and delivered these helpful educational pieces of content. Do you think, Chris, we'd be well-versed to have a look at some of those marketing examples from 100 years ago and really consider that as a platform for growing our business today? Do you think the golden years of advertising are over?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think there is probably some sort of psychological or sociological backlash to this sort of constant flow of information. And you know, as humans, we sort of have evolved to really try to prioritize information and tune out that which is irrelevant to our ongoing life. Yeah. And it becomes increasingly hard to do that with the more information that we have flowing at us. So I think as consumers, we've maybe learned, I think, even if we're not conscious of it or could articulate it, that it's no longer the business owner or the salesperson that possesses all this information. And it's actually quite easy for somebody to make a purchasing decision or prepare to make a purchasing decision by spending a bit of time online and doing quite a bit of research. In the old days, I think people had a bit of a problem that they needed to have solved, or maybe it was a problem they didn't know they had, and they would receive some really helpful information about it. And I think that that's something that we are emulating now to some degree. Yeah. With some success. On the other hand, some of the tools that we have available to us as consumers enable us to really make bigger demands on the sales process. We want really specific information because probably by the time we give a supplier a call, we've done more than half of our decision-making process, and we're sort of almost calling a company to verify that our understanding of what they do is correct. And so I think the process is a little bit different, but on the other hand, the fundamentals are still the same as now as they were in 1900. Just some of the tools are different.
Yeah, I was watching an interesting documentary by the Content Marketing Institute just a couple of weeks ago, Chris. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to watch that yet. The Story of Content by the team over there at CMI. And one of the stories in particular, which I've heard about quite a few times, which I think is really, really important for real estate agents especially to learn about, is the story of a company that back in the 1890s produced a magazine called The Furrow, FURROW. And I won't tell you who the company is yet, but I'll see if you can pick it out later. But what they did was essentially produce this helpful magazine talking about farming and you know, basically how to run a better farm and all the tools that not particularly from this company, but it was all about educating farmers on how to do their job better. And it didn't mention the name of the company in the magazine at all. And it was helpful. It was educational. And they, and then with the rise of TV in the 1950s, they dropped it in about 1940, and their sales slumped in the last 20 years, and they've just brought it back in the last 5 years. And that company's John Deere.
I was going to say that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, and so you know, back in the early 1800s to about 1940. They produced this magazine that had nothing to do with the brand, and then they fell into this, I guess, to the mass media, TV, advertising, mm-hmm. short, sharp, campaign-driven marketing, and their sales suffered in the last 10 years or so, and they're going back to, and there's so many other companies and examples like them who are reverting back to the early days and how they used to go about marketing. I think it's such a powerful message that, you know, the short, sharp, campaign-driven marketing is just not working like it used to be. Would you agree?
Yeah, completely. I think actually in particular, even going back to the previous question related to this one, which is that I think the reason that worked so well early on is because maybe in a simpler time when we had a little bit less capability of having this constant information flow, we really placed as consumers a great deal of faith in the sales process, that giving a company our attention and trust was really an important part of the process, building that relationship as opposed to just being a sort of transactional mindset. And I think that's what we've sort of returned to, because it, really what we're trying to do is people who are selling products and services should be to develop personal relationships with our ideal customer, as opposed to just trying to sell anything to anybody who has enough money to buy it. And I think this is in a way a renaissance. And I think the idea that it's relationship building as opposed to just trying to unload a bunch of information. Well, one of the things that I really see that's almost universal with all of my clients at the beginning is great deal of their marketing material, their content on their website is all about them. Mm. It's we do this, this is what we do, about us, et cetera. And I think the really refreshing thing to do is instead focus all of your attention on the person who's visiting your website, yeah, or person who's consuming your content. It's about them, not about you. And in a real estate context, think about how few times somebody actually chooses to list their home. I'm not sure what the statistics are, but it can't be that many times in your life when you decide that you need to sell your house, as an example. And it's a process that's highly personal, and you really have to place a lot of trust in the people that are responsible for selling your home, because it's a huge deal. And if the company that you're trying to get involved with is busy extolling the virtues of how good they are and all the awards that they've won, et cetera, it seems a little ridiculous when you put that in the context of walking in and having a good personal relationship with somebody you trust, because ultimately it's the trust and attention that we're after, not just the transaction.
Yeah, I think a company that everyone can relate to that I use in a lot of the presentations that I give, Chris, is Qantas, and they're an amazing brand that has evolved massively in the last 10 years, and their marketing, people will remember their ads back in the early 2000s, even, where they talked about their customer service record or their safety record, and it was all about Qantas as the brand. And, you know, we deliver first-class customer service. Our lounges are the best in the world. Our plane has the best our airline has the best safety record. And just in recent years, that message has completely shifted, and it is all about the consumer. And everyone will know the tagline now on their ads. It's, you're the reason we fly.
Right.
And that is a huge shift in the messaging, that exactly to your point, it's got nothing to do with the brand. It's got everything to do with the customer. And I think, you know, one of their billboards that I've seen around is one of their pilots talking about, I don't fly planes, I fly people, and there's a difference. And that is not how most real estate agents go about their marketing. It is very much a chest beating exercise of, this is how many awards I've won. I was the number one salesperson in my region, or, you know, I've won this many awards. That is, while that's excellent, what does that mean for the consumer?
I really agree. I've actually got a client, a real estate client, it's a small agency on the mid-north coast of New South Wales. And they are really, really pretty conscious of all of this. And I did a bunch of client interviews with them. And part of the process we do with the consulting work that we do is really go and actually ask the customers that are already people that are happy with their experience, rather than trying to guess what their experience was. Go and interview them and ask them some very pointed questions about their experience and what it was that this particular agency did that was different than all the other options on the table. Mm-hmm. And sometimes customers can actually explain this quite a bit better than the business can. I think we tend to think of ourselves as knowing what we sell, but if you ask the customers, you might find something quite surprising. In any case, talking with this particular agency, they're not a big chain name, but they do have a lot of success in this small community. And almost all the customers that I spoke to first went to the big agencies and assumed that there was some advantage to be gained from selling through a big agency because of their available resources. But then they sort of threw in maybe a couple of the local agencies to see if they could contrast the difference. And almost to a T, all the people that I spoke to said the same thing about this particular agency. I went to a big agency. They seemed to treat me like a number as opposed to a person. It seemed like I was going to be a transaction for them, or my house wasn't a big enough property to really get them too excited. And then I went into this small agency and they treated me like a real person. Mm. And of course, that was exactly what this agency does really well. They offer that kind of personalization and that kind of trust and that relationship building that didn't seem to exist with the bigger players. And so that's their point of difference. That's their advantage.
Mm. No, I think it's super smart, and it's something that I'm so passionate about. Is helping the customer through that journey of deciding whether they want to sell their house or but educating them in the process and entertaining them. And it really breaks my heart to see when people are going after these short term wins with how advertising and marketing's always been done. Something that I think's really, really interesting about the duct tape marketing system, Chris, is this idea of the marketing hourglass, and people would have heard of the marketing funnel or the sales funnel. What's the difference between the two?
Well, that's actually a really good question. I think a lot of us who have been involved with marketing, or at least a lot of business owners, would be generally familiar with the marketing funnel, which is the idea that at the top of the funnel, you have people who don't know much about you, potential customers and leads, and eventually you sort of choke all these leads down into a collection of a few that actually will buy from you. And there is a lot of attention placed on moving these people from the top of the funnel to the buy part, the constriction in the middle, but very little attention paid to the steps in between, and almost no attention paid to what happens after somebody has agreed to buy your products or services. So what the marketing hourglass really focuses on is moving people logically along a path where they're thinking that they might actually want to buy something from you, but also more importantly, moving them methodically from one sort of level of understanding of what you do to the next. So a lot of businesses tend to go from just getting to know you right to buy, and a lot of the marketing content is developed with that in mind. But what we sort of advocate, and what really John's message is with the marketing hourglass, is that not only are we starting with a bunch of people that we don't know, getting them logically along a path to buy from us, but we also, there's a whole series of events that happen after that initial transaction where we turn them into really happy, fulfilled customers who are likely to refer. Because the most powerful marketing tool you can possibly have, and it doesn't matter what industry you're in, is somebody who really knows and likes what you do and is willing and able to tell other people who are potential customers about it. Mm-hmm. So we actually use the idea of the hourglass, which is at the top of the funnel, you've got sort of people who are trying to get to know you, and moving them along down into a point where they'll buy from you. There's several steps in between. We say there is a know and a like and a trust, and then a try and then a buy. Mm. So that at the top of the funnel, it's people who are just getting to know you, The second step would be moving them to a point where they actually like what you do. And that might be as simple as somebody who's agreeing to sign on to your newsletter or has visited your website more than once. And then somebody who trusts you, somebody who may download an ebook or may attend a sales presentation. So they're trying to get to an idea of how you operate. And then we say there's a try aspect. And in a real estate context, try might be something like having some kind of presentation where you spend a bit of time explaining how best to prepare your house for showing, or first-time investors in property management type properties. So lots of things that you can do to move people along to the point of buy without trying to speed right to buy from no. And then after they actually sign on as a customer, the idea is that if it's possible to get them to repeat and then refer, there should be a series of business processes and specific content that is developed to move them from the point where they're actually engaging you to the point that they actually become a really happy referring customer. Mm. So it's really a logical process, but a lot of companies, I think almost everybody that I've encountered in my consulting work, pretty much focuses on the funnel, and the funnel is very simplified. It goes straight from just, here's who we are, make a transaction with us.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, nothing in between.
No, look, I completely agree, Chris. It's, I think the marketing funnel or the sales funnel makes, it's what people have been taught on. So naturally they felt like, well, once I get to the bottom and they've become a customer or a client and we've sold their property, for example, that's where it ends for some agents. I wouldn't say all agents, but certainly for some agents, that's where the relationship stops. Until next time it comes where they're thinking of selling, they'll put them in some sort of nurturing system where they'll call them in 5 years when they're naturally thinking of selling again. So they leave them alone for 5 years. And if I can share a story with you, when my wife and I bought our house about 3 years ago, and to be honest, I can't remember the name of the agent who sold us the house, but the day we picked up the keys, the receptionist at the office said, look, the particular, again, I can't remember her name. She said she couldn't be here today, but here's your keys, here's a bottle of champagne and good luck, see you later. So the person who had just gained a sizable commission it was obviously, I had more important things to do than see someone who's just paid them a considerable amount of money. So look, I think that is a fundamental, that happens all over the place. I'm sure that agents listening or principals listening might have even done that themselves. And it breaks my heart to see that that's where they believe the relationship stops for another 5 to 7 years. But what I love about the hourglass is it makes you think about what we can do in that void, in that time where they're not thinking of selling for another 5, 7, 10 years, whatever it might be, to really gain more trust and turn them into an advocate. What would you say, Chris, to agents who might be guilty of, I guess, finishing the relationship building exercise or the trust building with a client as soon as the property sold?
Well, I think, as I said before, I really think that the most valuable marketing asset you can possibly have is somebody who's experienced what you do and is willing to tell other people about it. And I think just imagine yourself as a consumer. How many times, you know, in your life have you bought into somebody's marketing and decided to buy a product or service and been excited about it on some basic level, and then only sort of to discover once they had your money, everything falls down after that. So there, you know, people spend a great deal of time, a huge amount of time trying to convince people that they're the solution. And then they sort of fall down when the solution actually, that part actually takes place. And I think that's, not only is it not helpful to your business, but it actually can be really damaging to your business. Now, it's really telling in your story that you can't remember the name of the agent. You probably remember the name of the company.
I do.
It's considering the implications of such a huge transaction in your life, the fact that you can't remember the name, that's to me really, really telling. Mm. If you'd had a different experience, you might say, person X really, really helped me with my situation. You ought to consider that company because they really treated me well. Mm. And I think that's a heck of a lot more powerful piece of marketing content than anything you can produce and put out on the internet. Somebody who really gets it.
Well, something I think now is the best time to do that is to really adopt this mindset of an after the funnel or the marketing hourglass philosophy. I think now is the time to do it better than any other time because we are in a market where basically houses are selling themselves. Agents are meeting more people, and when that market shifts, and it will, it always will. Does. We're going to find a lot of agents. They leave the industry because they're not making sales, and they're essentially not falling in their lap, and they come back to the industry again when the market is red hot. So, I think now is the best time to really adopt this mindset of the marketing hourglass, and the great agents do, Chris. The great agents do this, and they're adopting this mindset of delivering value and going by all of the advice that you've given. They are the ones that stick around in the lean times because they have established trust with these people, and they are front of mind and essentially a friend in the process. But take us to today in your business, Chris. What are you working on that's getting you fired up and excited?
Well, besides working with our clients, we actually the thing I'm most excited about is we're putting together a new website resource that is a bit of a small business exchange. There are a lot of internet resources. If you were to try to figure out a problem that your small business has, you can spend weeks, certainly, or months trying to research solutions. And then you'll find really industry-specific solutions. You'll find solutions that are more appropriate for enterprise-level companies. But very few internet resources are really focused on small business in general. And I think what I found as a small business owner and trying to research solutions for my small business, I had either somebody who was too expensive, somebody I couldn't really afford to buy information from, or I had sort of really anecdotal, sort of my brother-in-law makes websites kind of information. So what I'm working on right now here with my colleagues is developing a website that is going to be a collection of resources for the small business owner, whether it's marketing or sales or business processes, and we'll be offering some online courses but just basically a lot of content. And the point is to help with education. It's not really a sales oriented thing. And I'm really, really excited to kind of take some of this MBA level thought leadership and condense it into really useful, practical nuggets of information for a regular person who just is trying to run their small business, who doesn't have time to get an MBA and doesn't have time to spend weeks and months researching things on the internet, only to find a lot of confusion in the end.
Fantastic. Well, Chris, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from our real estate industry social media marketing report, where we set out to discover how real estate professionals are using social media to market either themselves or their business. We discovered that 22% of real estate professionals cannot measure a return on investment with their social media marketing. But what was more interesting about that number is that 70% of agents spend 5 or more hours per week on social media. Despite what some gurus say, social media is definitely not free. It not only has the potential to be a big time waster for real estate professionals, but it can affect revenue in a big way if agents aren't focused on the dollar producing activities or if they don't have the right strategies in place to capitalize on the advantages that social media can give them. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Chris, we've reached one of my favorite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Yes.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Yeah, I would say I've got a lot of people that I can think of, but oddly enough, one of the people that inspires me a lot is actually one of the more recent things as opposed to over the course of my career. And there's a guy named Simon Sinek who's written a book called Start With Why, another one called Leaders Eat Last. And I only learned about him really a couple of years ago. But he sort of personifies a lot of how I go about my business and about how I perceive businesses. The idea generally that he is extolling is that people are not numbers. When you get into a situation where you're managing a company or running an organization, treating people with the common decency and respect that they deserve, and understanding that they're actually people is really not only the most ethical and humane way to go about it, but it actually is something that enhances performance within an organizational context. And I think that that's something that's in really, really short supply around the world. And I just like I just was pointing out with the real estate industry, looking outside of what has been done in your organization, if you tend to treat people like numbers, they're going to act like numbers. So if you are spending a bit of time really protecting and supporting the people inside your organization, the more successful your organization is likely to be. So that I find that really, really inspiring.
What is your favorite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Well, besides spending time with my family, my 3-year-old daughter and my wife, I'm a big sailor. I love to sail, and Sydney Harbor is about as good as it gets for local sailing.
No doubt. What is your favorite business book that you've ever read, and why?
Well, there are a lot of really good business books, and I could tell you a lot about duct tape marketing. But one I recently read really is almost my favorite of all of them, and it's called Uncommon Sense and Common Nonsense. Yeah. And it's written by a guy named Jules Goddard and another guy named Tony Eccles. It's a little bit of an academic book, but it actually is really all about businesses daring to be innovative and not sort of relying on following formulaic advice about how to go about their work. And it's just really an outstanding book and lots of really, really useful things about the mindsets that businesses should have in this modern age of innovation.
Chris, what is your favorite technology or online resource that you use daily to help run a better business?
I'd have to say Evernote is probably something I use several times a day. It's just a very useful tool for helping me organize a lot of my thoughts and a lot of my projects and even just basic business processes. It's an incredibly useful tool.
Chris, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties that they manage. If you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, with your background in marketing, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Well, certainly my experience in the Australian real estate market, particularly recently, is that there's generally a failure to look outside the industry for answers. I think there are a lot of incumbent interests. A lot of the big players tend to look at what they do and see themselves as solutions within the conventional confines of the Australian market and what's been going on here for a while. But there's a comprehensive failure to look outside and find solutions from other industries, from other countries. And I think those in the real estate industry who actually are able to stand up and look around outside of the immediate market are the ones that stand to really benefit in the long term.
Well, Chris, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favorite success quote, and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
I think there's a quote that John Jantz reuses quite a bit, and it's a Sun Tzu quote from The Art of War, and that is that strategy without tactics is the noise before defeat. And that really is important across a lot of industries, but certainly is applicable to the real estate industry. And it is the idea that really you really cannot choose tactics that make any sense at all without a really sound strategy. And to just employ tactics is to sort of delay defeat, if anything.
I love that. Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Chris has shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/podcasts. Well, Chris, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge, and advice today. I know that people are going to enjoy the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about the Inbound Guide?
Well, a couple different ways. You can visit our website at www.theinboundguide.com. You can contact me directly at Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at theinboundguide.com. And for your listeners, if anybody's interested in this sort of methodology, I'm happy to offer a free month of online course content from Duct Tape Marketing. And if you're interested in that, you can go to www.theinboundguide.com/realestatepros. And for that, you get a 30-day introduction to the methodology. And if you find it useful, great. If it's not your cup of tea, it won't cost you anything. So just think it's a really handy exposure to a different way of thinking about marketing as a system.
That's fantastic. Well, listeners, make sure you take advantage of that. Thanks so much, Chris. That's very nice of you. And thanks for joining us. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure as well. I'm a big fan of the show, and I listen to it all the time. So it's really an honor to be on.
Thanks again, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Real Estate Pros. If you like this episode, please subscribe and you'll be notified of new episodes. I'm Josh Cobb. Now go out and grow your business.